This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
A top European trade official says Europe seriously wants a trade agreement with the United States. However, EU political leaders still won't negotiate on significant agricultural policies. Bernd Lange is the chair of the European Parliament's Committee on International Trade. He was in Washington last week to talk to lawmakers and the Trump administration officials. Reporters continued to question him about the U.S. demands that the EU reduce its ag tariff and non-tariff barriers to U.S. farm commodities. Quote, "On agriculture, everyone knows that this is not possible," Lange says. Lange was in the nation's capital to try and kickstart the stalled trade talks. While visiting WIF staff in Senator Chuck Grassley's office, the staff members told Lange that, quote, "agriculture should be in any deal." Lange's response was a simple one: "It's not possible." An AgriPulse report says that is the exact opposite of what EU Trade Commissioner Phil Hogan said in a recent visit to the U.S. Hogan had told reporters that Europe was considering taking a more flexible approach on its refusal to include agriculture in trade talks with the U.S. The EU will soon be busy as formal trade talks with the United Kingdom are set to begin today. In other international news around the world of agriculture, the Canadian Federation of Agriculture held their annual general meeting in Ottawa this past week. The main topic was the recent blockade of the Canadian National Railroad and how the country is trying to get back on track. Dennis Guy has more from Canada.
In the wake of recent railway blockades by Indigenous protesters joined by non-Indigenous activists, Canada's largest general farm organization is calling for decisive action from the federal government. Canadian Ag Federation President Mary Robinson says farmers and agribusiness are reaching a tipping point after 3 weeks of rail, road, and shipping transportation disruptions on the heels of a CN rail workers' strike earlier this winter.
The widespread collateral damage of these protests is grinding our entire industry to a halt. Canadian agriculture is quickly reaching a tipping point. We certainly are at a point where our nation should be concerned that our government show leadership and investment to ensure that our agriculture resources properly shored up.
Blockade actions are winding down, but freight car backlogs in rail yards and in shipping ports on both Canadian coasts are sluggish. CN Rail Vice President Sean Finn explains that a national transportation system does not immediately return to normal after 3 weeks of disruption.
Very much focusing on getting the cycle times back up and the grain cars back to the prairies to be loaded and recover our backlog. The Canadian economy is relying on us, and we're a trading nation, so to get these goods to Vancouver to be exported, but also into the U.S. coming from the east, it's going to take some time, and in the east will take longer. It could be, you know, it'll be weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, if not a month, to fully catch up.
Canadian Ag Federation President Mary Robinson told delegates and politicians that agribusiness needs reliable transportation for both domestic and global markets. Robinson said it's not just inconvenient slowdowns that are at play here. Hundreds of tons of perishable food goods were left to spoil as train cars sat idle.
I received phone calls from apple farmers as their ready-for-market apples sit in rail cars, slowly rotting. We cannot continue to have our livelihoods held hostage every time a group wants to put pressure on government. These interruptions also greatly affect Canada's ability to be a reliable and trusted trading partner.
Along with outbound Canadian shipment schedules, requisite inputs are also a major concern. One of the biggest worries is the delivery and supply of propane by rail. Many depend on propane as their primary power and heat source.
We do know that 85% of the propane moves by rail. We know that our trucking sector is severely stressed, and now there are further demands on them. As far as how long it will go on, it's difficult to answer that question as we've never been to this point before.
So while it seems that things were okay now that we have the USMCA, Canada could still be in a pickle when it comes to trading with us. We'll continue into state and local ag news following this.
Did you know that life insurance is more affordable than you think? A small step like packing your lunch for work 3 days a week could go toward the cost of a term life insurance policy from Country Financial. We want to help you turn I can't afford life insurance into I can start protecting my family today. Call Wayne Schaefer at 498-5800 to get started.
Life insurance policies issued by Country Life Insurance Company in Bloomington, Illinois. Costs per policy will vary.
M&M Service Company is now treating soybeans with the seed treatments to help you get the highest yield and best stand possible. Treating soybeans is the most effective way to protect your soybean stand against seedling diseases and insects, while also providing early vigor. M&M also offers inoculant treatments. Your soybean crop is worth more today than ever before, and it makes sense to protect and enhance it with the seed treatment from M&M Service. Ask your crop specialist about the advantages of having your soybeans treated today.
Red or green, the question that draws a line in the sand for the farming community. Well, now, regardless of which side you're on, Macoupin County Farm Bureau members can enjoy a discount with the new John Deere and Case IH special discounts. Members can save up to $500 off Case IH equipment. And John Deere offers Farm Bureau members a free Platinum 2 membership. For more information, contact the Macoupin County Farm Bureau at 217-854-2571.
And we're back here on your Monday Afternoon Ag Show. And with spring-like weather upon us finally and daylight savings time coming into effect on Saturday night, we'll be seeing farmers hitting the field before we know it. But there is still one more important item to consider, and that is ARC and PLC. Dane Staton, Vice President of Crop Insurance at Farm Credit Illinois at their Jerseyville office, explains the two programs are not new, but it's important to update those numbers for future years.
Yeah, well, ARC and PLC, they're not new products or new decisions by any means. They came out in the 2014 Farm Bill, but the biggest difference between the 14 Farm Bill and our 2019 Farm Bill are these are elections that have to be made by March the 15th going forward. There are going to be elections year by year made on March the 15th for the 21, 23, 24 crops and so on. So they're going to be a little bit more familiar in this farm bill rather than the last farm bill whenever we made the decision back in 14 and it stuck for the next 5 years. So just a quick refresher, I guess, on the ARC and PLC is the ARC is an agriculture risk coverage that actually takes into consider price and yield on a countywide basis, where the PLC is a price loss coverage, and it only is looking at just a strict price. So on the PLC side of the decision, they have reference prices. On corn, it would be $3.70, and on beans, it's $8.40. And more or less, if the price from a marketing year average, which is September through the end of August, they average each of the commodity price, and at the end of this pricing period, which would be the end of August, they'll come out with a marketing year average. If those marketing year averages drop below the reference price, again, corn $3.70, beans $8.40, then there will be a payment reflected from that loss. So that's kind of a really brief overview of the PLC. If you remember back, I think a majority of the farmers in 2014 actually elected ARC County. That ARC County is a revenue-based decision, and it is for each county and where the that is a farm location. More or less, what that is, that's a 5-year average of the not only the market year price but the county yield, and then it's 86% of that. So it's an Olympic average of those two. So there's a benchmark revenue that a county has, and then they calculate up the actual county yields and the actual marketing year for that for those years. And if it's lower than the benchmark, then there's a indemnity according to that. So, again, very brief overview of the two products that you have to decide on. And, again, it's from a 2019 election, so we're actually electing for the crop that we had just harvested. And then we're also electing for the crop that we're about ready to get started planting.
And again, that was Dane Staton with Farm Credit Illinois out of the Jerseyville office. And we'll continue the conversation with Dane tomorrow morning on the Farm Show, as I had a quite in-depth interview with him. So you can hear the rest of the interview again tomorrow morning on the Morning Ag Show. Looking at the local ag community bulletin board now on a Monday. Coming up on Saturday, the Highland FFA chapter will be holding a used oil drive in the Highland Junior High parking lot. Again, that'll be held Saturday morning from 8 till 10. It will go to support the Green for Life initiative. And if you need more information, you can contact the Highland High School Ag Department. Then, coming up next Tuesday, the 10th, the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsborough will be hosting a pop-up shop workshop. That'll be held Tuesday evening from 5:30 until 7. There's no charge to attend, but registration is required. You can register online at extension.illinois.edu/CJMM, or you can call the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsborough at 532-3941. And that'll conclude things on this afternoon edition of the Farm Show. Reporting on this Monday, March 2nd, this is Gabe Osborne for WSMI Ag News.